Hello and welcome to episode 65, also known as Forced Retirement Age in the country of Canada, of what we're listening to. My name is Josh. I'm one of your hosts. And with me is my good friend and musical gremlin, Asher. How are you, sir?
Good. At midnight, I turn into a fiend hunting down ambient music.
I was surprised you got that reference. Good. Maybe it's because you've been listening to Nick Letzko, actually. Maybe I shouldn't be surprised.
I think in the 90s, I did actually see parts of gremlins. I mean, like, I know the thing, is it water you don't get on them or something like
that? Yes, you don't water the Mogwai, then they turn into a gremlin.
Yeah, and that's the reference of the band Mogwai.
Yes. Yeah,
because I was looking at what the name meant. Apparently, in Mandarin, it means kind of like demon or something. Oh. So I think that's why it was called that. Yeah,
that's nice.
Yeah.
Well, I have
nice band name.
I have a regionalized quiz for you, Asher.
Go.
To spoil later in the episode, I have given Asher an album by the Weaker Thans, and as anyone who spends any time in Canada would know, they have a rather famous song about the city of Winnipeg, which is their hometown.
Yes.
Often just called I Hate Winnipeg.
Hate Winnipeg.
Or One Great City, it's its actual name. And I wanted to see if you could, for me, name three of the reasons that the singer-songwriter hates the city of Winnipeg. There are actually quite a few. Some of them are very specific and regional. I had to look some of them up.
So this was one of the songs that really stood out to me. I really liked it.
Yeah.
Because it was so regional and parochial or parochial. I can't have. It's not pierogies, is it? It's parochial.
parochial. Oh,
yes. So I think it's something about paying for gas or fuel. Like it's expensive or something like this. Like the guy in the fuel station is like, I hate Winnipeg, or he says it. I can't remember.
Yeah, he's paying for fuel with spare change because it's so expensive.
Oh, right. Yeah,
that's one.
I haven't listened to it again recently. I was checking through it last night, and I noted that was one of my faves, but I didn't need to listen to it again. I don't remember the others. Tell me.
I mean, there's a bunch. There's obviously the Jets, the hockey team. Who at the time of this album coming out weren't even the team anymore. They had actually had flunked out of the league. They have since returned.
Okay.
The Guess Who, the band, suck. There's the cold. It's so cold that it causes cars to stall more often. So he talks about how there's more traffic jams and like the bus can't get onto the highway properly and that kind of stuff. There's a whole bunch of them.
Mm-hmm.
I actually found like a mini paper, like a university paper written about how it describes different aspects of like the Winnipeg psyche. It was quite detailed.
That's cool.
Yeah.
They're from Winnipeg?
Yes.
Yeah, right.
And Winnipeg is a terrible city. I would never suggest you go there.
Now, I'm digging into the recesses. Is that in Saskatchewan?
No, it's farther west, east.
Farther
east.
Yeah,
excuse me.
I'm blanking.
Sorry? No, yeah, it's cold in the winter, very cold in the winter, and very swampy in the summer. It's also like the mosquito capital of Canada. It's a really terrible place.
Yes. Yeah.
Sorry.
Manitoba. Is it Manitoba?
I think so. I'm not actually sure. My Canadian geography is... I haven't been to elementary school in a very long time, so...
You're Canadian, Joshua.
Now, you can pull your Australian card for that
one. Further past the Rockies, I'd stop caring about the country, basically.
What, until you get to the other side?
Yeah, the Rockies.
PEI, Nova Scotia.
That's true.
Newfoundland.
Well done. We'll get to talking about John K. Sampson and the Weaker Thans in a little bit. Otherwise, you have a catch
Sounds
up,
good.
Sir.
It's been like, so our schedule's been all over the place. So I don't really have any catch up from the last one. I was trying to remember what episode number we were up to.
That's okay.
Oh, I will follow up. I mean, this can be an honorable mention, but last time I mentioned that Slow Dive had a new album coming out, and it is now out.
It's officially out, yeah.
It's Yeah. And I'm very excited to have a listen. You're excited to dunk on it. No. I'm looking forward to it because I'm just in the mood. I mean, you know, I'm in the mood for like slow, big, post-rocky, shoegazy stuff. But yeah,
it has its moments for sure.
I listened to like two of the tracks and then I tried to resist for a long time. So I'm looking forward to listen to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about all the follow-up. Do you have anything for you?
I have one small piece, which is that I got to see the new iteration of Black Country New Road the other week.
Yes. So cool.
As they came through Vancouver for the first time ever.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it's obviously it's kind of sad and it's also completely unfair to like, I obviously wish they could play some of their old songs, but they just don't. I feel after watching them, there is a lack of like emotional payoff to some of their newer songs. Wherein like, Isaac was better at writing these kind of cathartic musical moments and they're kind of not there yet as a band. Rather interestingly, I think that now that their kind of lead singer and guitarist has moved on and they play this kind of like skipping around role, it's made the drums a much more central instrument in the band's composition. Like it's almost like the drum plays a lead role in a lot of the songs and how they operate, which I find quite interesting to watch because obviously their drummer Charlie is quite talented. And so it's kind of this like non-verbal kind of orchestration role for the drummer.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like, cause we both chatted about their live album and how it was hard to kind of get the vibe of the songs.
Yeah.
Just because in a live space, nuance is lost a little. Did you feel like the songs were able to kind of get into them a bit more live?
I think so. I think they played them a bit better as well. But I think one or two of them, they hit the transitions in like highs and lows a bit better. So one or two of the songs, I don't actually know any of the new names off by heart anymore. I'm kind of waiting for an album to come out. But I think they're pretty good. Yeah, for sure. They played really well together, which is obviously great.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a weird space because they're still like 90% the same band kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of members, but it's kind of like 50% the same band in terms of direction, I suppose, because of lyrics being a big part. Like if they were an instrumental band, it probably wouldn't matter as much, you know?
Yeah.
But it's interesting how much it does change band and you're like, do we change our name? Do we, you know? So yeah, interesting. Well, I'm jealous regardless. I would love to have seen them. There's actually been a lot of getting concert notifications like Porter Robinson's coming here at the end of the year. Oh. Blink-182 are coming here for 500 smackaroos.
Yeah, that one's not worth the money, man.
Not at all. I'm not going to see that. Always are coming. So, no, it's good. I don't know if I'll get to them, but it's cool.
I think that's the catch up I have.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's all for me.
Should we move on to reviews?
Yes, I believe you're first, sir.
So Josh tried to dissuade me from talking about like the fifth ambient-ish album in a row, but I said no. And so I'm talking about Mogwai, as Josh alluded to in the intro quiz, who are a Scottish post-rock band who have been around since like the mid-90s, I believe.
Yeah.
And the reason I am going to talk about the other band I was thinking about reviewing just in honorable mentions, but I just didn't get into it as much as this. And I stumbled across a random meme which had like like some like hyper boppy What are they called in the US? Like sororities?
Yeah, it was footage of a sorority meet and greet, which is...
Yeah, they were just dancing, but they had the music of like Mogwai to it. So it, obviously the juxtaposition between like lots of blonde hair and pink outfits, you know, to this like really drony track. And I was like, oh, I haven't actually listened to Mogwai in a long time. No, I haven't listened to them at all, but I know of them. But I'm really surprised I haven't gotten into them yet because...
Same, to be honest.
This is... Yeah, yeah, yeah. You were just holding out on me, weren't you? You were like, no, no. So they're kind of like a happier Godspeed You, I reckon. Not just because the album I was reviewing is Happy Songs for Happy People kind of thing. This album, at least, I think was a little bit different than their normal stuff. But the vibe that I get is that it is kind of a little bit more of a positive post-rock, if that makes sense. Like, there are a lot of the similar elements to what you hear on F-sharp, A-sharp, Infinity. There's not a lot of, like, sampling in terms of spoken word and things like that. But there is actually singing, although it's kind of like through a vocoder, through all sorts of effects. So it kind of just feels like a, you know, a tremolo guitar sort of thing. And I think they're a little bit more tongue-in-cheek than Godspeed You. Like, you've got track names like Moses Are Amped or like Kids Will Be Skeletons and what else have I been, where is it? Just trying to pull up the track names. Like, it just doesn't, they don't seem to take themselves like hugely serious, if that makes sense. And maybe that's the Scottish different sort of take. Yeah, like Golden Porsche or like I Know You Are, But What Am I? I like that track. So no, it's a good album, and it's like, yeah, like I said, I was checking out what people thought of this one. I think that some people are like, oh, it's too sleepy. Like, it doesn't kind of reach the big parts that they usually do on earlier albums or later albums. But like, I really like the light and shade. Like, there were some big moments, typical post-rock, lots of distortion, big drums. Then there was like, you know, track 8, the I Know You Are, What Am I, is like piano-led and electronic drums. And this is 2003, so this is kind of, I don't know, it feels a little bit preemptive of what is done by other bands like Sleep Makes Waves and stuff, but I like it a bit more because it feels a little bit more raw, less pretty and clean, if that makes sense. But yeah, it's very close to what I really like about Godspeed You, and I like hearing a different version, a more positive version. But yeah, did you give any of the tracks a listen?
Yeah, give it maybe twice through.
What'd you think?
Yeah, if you put a gun to my head, I probably wouldn't be able to tell the difference between this and an Explosions in the Sky album. I think they're kind of...
I haven't listened to tons of Explosions, so...
To me, it's kind of exactly the same. Only the first track, where it has that kind of weird tremolo vocals, I kept on waiting for it to break into Black Hole Sun by Soundgarden constantly. But it has the kind of same vocal effect at the beginning of that song. And it was like, it was really tweaking me out a little bit.
Yeah,
I don't know. You can imagine that, like, the environment of Scotland is a pretty great place for something that is kind of like, you know, brooding and gray and behemoth like post rock often is. So it makes sense that something like this exists, even though I'd never really listened to it, and you haven't either.
And that Godspeed You come out of, you know, Quebec kind of thing.
Yeah, similar.
You get these, yeah, the environment really shapes the music.
Maybe there is, but I've yet to see a Floridian post-rock band. Maybe there is.
I need to start one down here so we can get like there's probably some good post-rock bands down here. I don't know. I don't listen to a lot of them. Oh, I mean, we have Sleep Makes Waves, but it's much less brooding and a bit more like clean and electronic-y. So yeah. Yeah, anyway, I don't have tons more to say about it. I will try and review something with lyrics one day. One day when it's not winter time here, you know. It's the music, man. You got to pair it with the right weather.
I know that season's almost over, so you can't hide forever.
I know.
Spring. I wish I could. Spring.
Well, it's sprung apparently, but yeah, we have been having weird weather. Anyway, let's not get into that. Shall we move on and talk about what you've been listening to?
Yes.
It's a little bit more diverse, I think.
Very different. I'm going to review the latest album, I think, by a band called Han. So Han are a British electropop duo that I heard about quite a long time ago. So actually I've been following their career for a while and it kind of like been off and on. And while their name is Japanese, the music is pretty British. It's like a mix of like electro pop and kind of soul infusion kind of stuff like that. Like a lot of their older stuff is a little more kind of sad and mopey and kind of, you know, like old, you know, kind of like Al Green songs where like, why don't we get together kind of stuff.
The lyrics are very kind of old school love song style.
Yeah. And still kind of innocent too, which is nice. But this latest one is a lot more poppy and upbeat actually. And normally I don't kind of go in for that sort of thing, but I think this is a large kind of hand of genuineness to the music. And also there's actually quite a bit of musicality and people playing instruments, which obviously I enjoy, which kind of really appealed to me when I first listened to it. And like once you get past the couple, the really two big singles, which is like the first two songs. There's actually quite a bit of depth still in the album afterwards, after going through
it. Yeah, I kind of got that too.
Yeah. Anyway, so I was kind of blown away by how much I actually ended up loving this record. Even for being something so like pop romance focused. I think a lot of the bass work is kind of what caught me initially and it kind of kept, kind of kept going. And then along with that, they, I forgot their name. They hired an animator, Holly Warburton. That's her name.
Okay.
And they kind of did all the illustrations for their music videos and like the lyric videos. And they're like these really cutesy kind of two-dimensional kind of watercolor cartoon figures that kind of walk around and like interact with the band. And like, it's quite childish actually, or childlike.
That's cool.
And you see them all the time as you like go through different like illustrations for songs and that kind of stuff. So there's kind of this merging of, I don't know, like really creative innocence in a lot of parts of the project. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I reckon part of the reason you like them is they reminded me of Dijon a little bit. Like these, you mentioned kind of a bit soul-y.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's got that feel to it because the songs are like quite, I don't know, bitsy in some ways. They're like small and they've got, yeah, it's this kind of trad sort of writing, which I didn't love. Like, it was a bit cheesy for me, but like you say, like, it's the music that actually attracts you to it. And, yeah, I can't remember which track I sent you, and like, oh, this is really nice. I think it was One Way to Tokyo.
Yeah.
Like, from there on, you know, yeah, the first part is great, and they're good songs, but, yeah, there's definitely some great playing behind it. I mean, I'm just saying the same as you. I agree. I think some sections reminded me of like 22 Million, like that same sort of lots of changes between instruments, lots of kind of different genres and sections and sample sounds and stuff. So it's a bit hard to explain.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't mind it. I could come back to that again. despite, yeah, it felt like some sort of crooner album, but set in, yeah, the 2020s.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't particularly mind that either. So I think this album has a lot more going for it than maybe kind of people give it credit for if they get past the singles and
yeah,
it's really good.
Yeah, it's not the latest actually. Oh. It's yeah, they've got another one out that came out in 2022.
Oh, I'll have to look at that too. This,
yeah. Oh, it's the 3-disc. Oh, hang on. This is the special edition with like some other stuff. Don't worry. Long records. What is this?
3-disc. Yeah, that's also the other nice thing about this. It's not particularly long, so you can kind of go through it multiple times and have fun.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was like, what is it? 37 minutes. Yeah. No, it was nice. I enjoyed it. It's a good. It's good to kind of push yourself. Maybe I should do that sometime. Nah.
That's what homework is for, right?
Yeah, 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 yeah. Speaking of,
yeah.
Do you want to head into homework?
Sure. Yeah, so as I mentioned at the top, I thought it was time to kind of give Asher one of the more preeminent indie bands of Canada that I hadn't thought he had a shot at listening to. It's kind of our, I don't know, like our pop punk, our happy rock. A lot of the modern Canadian scene would point to the lead singer and songwriter John K. Sampson as an illustration of like somebody who is quite clever lyrically, but also manages to write songs that are like really catching and endearing. So there's a special quality to the Weaker Thans, and they haven't made a music in a long time, and people are kind of quite sad about that, I think. But I thought it was, you know, the music has inspired a lot of different bands and different kind of movies and things like Scott Pilgrim that kind of had a lot of cultural touches in Canada.
Oh, right. Okay, cool.
And obviously you can't really spend any time in this country and not hear one great city about Winnipeg without really, you know, it's just,
yeah, I reckon I had heard it before.
It just kind of pervades everything, you know, like only like other countries write songs about how, like how great different cities are. And instead we kind of, you know, we bemoan one of the less famous cities in our country rather famously. Yeah. So I thought,
I mean, I love that about that kind. I love it when people do that. It's like the Darren Hanlon sort of take on stuff.
A little bit. So yeah.
Highlighting the small and mundane parts of the country.
So I think this is just the Weaker Than's third album. I'm not entirely sure. But this is the one that I started with.
Oh, sorry. I'm on his solo Wikipedia page, John K. Sampson.
John K. Sampson.
Let me look at the Weaker Than's discography. Yes, it's their third. They had Fallow, Left and Leaving, and then Reconstruction Site. And you said it was the anniversary this year.
Yes.
26th of August.
Completely by luck.
Oh, you planned that, man.
Definitely did not. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I do like how small enough Canada is, you know, kind of respectively, because there is a lot of bleed over. Like I see that some of his stuff is on Anti Records, which Andy Schauf has been on and stuff like that. So
yeah,
there is a lot of kind of crossover and things, but yeah. So I don't know whether it's like I don't have many points of reference, but like his voice reminds me a lot of the Slaughter Beach Dog. I always get that round the wrong way. Singer. Like,
okay.
I don't know why. I think it's the dry vocal. Like, I think his voice and lyrics are my favorite part of this album.
Yeah.
And I can see why he's such an influence, because the music itself didn't grab me a whole bunch. Like, it's good. It supports the lyric well, which is what it's kind of meant to do in this case. And they're good songs, like they're fun to listen to. Like I kind of loved things like Psalm for the Elks Lodge, Last Call. I like the title track. Mm. And then One Great City, I think, was where it really stood out to me. And I went, oh, okay. Like I see why you like this. It's like tongue in cheek, a little wink, wink, nod, nod sort of thing. Well, no, it's not even subtle. It's just kind of like funny and self-deprecating, and they don't take themselves too seriously. But he's got a great voice, and I like it when singers don't pretty up their voice a huge amount, and it's just kind of, you can hear the personality, the accent, mm. the the imperfections and all that kind of thing. Like it also reminds me a bit of Harrison Lemke, you know, different voice type, but kind of, you know, modern folk stories and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's quite nostalgic because 2003 was interestingly, same era as Happy Songs for Happy People. different genre completely. But I don't know, like, I don't have a lot of context for this album. Like, you know, is it a 5-piece band? Like, what's the size of their group? It's just kind of like were any of the members, like, particularly special? Was it just him that was the main guy, John K. Sampson?
Usually it's him as kind of the help is the special one for sure.
Right, yeah. No, it was nice. I can't say that, like, I go, oh, right, yeah, this is kind of like a sound that I want to listen to all day. But it certainly was kind of a vocal sound that I really enjoyed. And I kept, putting it on a few times and really enjoying the upbeat nature of it. But, like, I don't know, did those songs that I mentioned stand out to you, or are there other ones that you love for different reasons?
I mean, yeah, I would say the self-titled and Song for the Elks Lodge, and maybe even A Cat Called Virtue, or often held up as pretty pretty standout songs from the album for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a bit of like a flow through on a number of the different records about songs about his cats, so it kind of keeps going.
Right. It's cute.
Yeah. For a while, I think the self-titled song was my like most played song on iTunes.
Okay.
It's still up there. There's something about it. I think it's that kind of nostalgia that is definitely reminds me of being a kid in Canada. And I'm not kind of 100% sure why exactly. But it's definitely there.
Yeah. I mean, was this around the same time as like Arcade Fire's stuff? When did Funeral come out? I asked this question many times before.
Funeral's a bit later, I think. 2003?
Yeah. 2004. Yeah. So close-ish. Yeah. No, I can understand why it's like, it is like a, yeah, if I was to look back through and think about the bands I was listening to in 2003 as well, like it, I suppose it is that, yeah, imprinting on your teenage years, kinds of teenage years, yeah, about like the kind of sound and vibe of it. And I think Canada does this kind of like alt rock pretty well. Broken Social Scene is probably a little bit more oddball than this. But yeah, and so this felt like, yeah, a bit more trad, but with non-traditional lyrics, which I liked. Yeah. And it's a bit country-ish, isn't it? Like folky country sort of rock.
Yeah, there are a couple songs and maybe one or two other records that are like really country. Surprisingly country, so.
I can't say that the songs stood out to me a heap in terms of sound, but in terms of lyrics, yeah, I like that. I like the kind of particularly One Great City, but yeah, there were other things that I enjoyed. It was a good vibe.
Yeah.
I dig it. Are there other albums pretty good, or is this the kind of standout?
I mean, I would say give it a listen. There, he has a solo record that he put out maybe 10 years ago, which is pretty good, actually. I was considering giving that to you, actually, instead.
Provincial?
Yes, it's got like a blue cover.
It's got like a Oh, there's Winter Wheat.
Winter Wheat, that's the one.
Yeah, it's 2016. That looks cool. I'll have a look regardless.
Yeah.
Vampire Alberta Blues. Taking a shot at another province now. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. There you go.
Well, no, thanks for sharing
another piece of the Canadian puzzle for you, sir, at least.
No, it's good. You're really informing me, and I like it. And I would not have come across these people on my own, I don't think. I mean, I might have. Oh, and that reminds me, I mean, I've texted you and said this, but who does the lightsaber blues?
Oh, McCluskey.
McCluskey are here in January. Or maybe it's a little bit later. And I'm wondering whether I have the guts to go.
Do it. I don't know if they've ever toured Australia before. They might have. Like a long time ago. But I don't know, man. They play a good show. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, I should get, yeah.
And it's not going to be $500 either.
Yeah. Postpone Australia tour to 2024. Yeah, that's why it was coming out next. So they're in Sydney on the 6th of Jan. Could probably do that. That sounds fun. Anyway, yeah. No, so thanks for that. Thanks for the Week of Then album.
That's right.
I'll come back to some of those tracks.
Be fun. What did you give me then, sir, for homework?
Something quite different.
Yeah, surprisingly. This would not be on my list of things that you would give me.
So the so I gave Josh one of his solo albums of Mark Knopfler. So Mark Knopfler being the lead singer / guitarist of Dire Straits. And how like music of your parents really influences you growing up. My parents really liked Mark Knopfler specifically. They really enjoyed his soundtrack for that film. What was it called that he did? Local Hero. And Princess Bride, which was fantastic. But they also had this album called Sailing to Philadelphia. And I must confess, after going through it again as I was prepping for the episode, it's more the first half of the album that I really enjoy.
Sure.
Than the latter half. Like, and also because my parents had favorite songs, and so I'd hear those ones a bit more. Title track and first three, and then Prairie Wedding were some of their faves, and so we'd hear those a bit more. So I'm not saying that like every track on this album I really love, but even though this has got some real kind of 90s country vibes, I still kind of love the way the guitar is used. Anyway, I'll go into it more. What did you think of Sailing to Philadelphia?
I think we too as a family had the Mark Knopfler soundtrack album. That's kind of my major experience of him as a kid was through that. I've never been the biggest Dire Straits. You know, they have a couple of great songs.
Me neither.
I think Romeo and Juliet's probably their best in my opinion. But I think
so good.
Like on terms of like things that I think Asher enjoys, like elongated Stratocaster guitar solos in a blues key is not like super high on my list. And so, I mean, I was a bit surprised that you give this to me because so much of this album is guitar centric and so much of who Mark Knopfler is like he's a Strat guy. Like in my head, there's like a couple dudes who are like, and it's like Hendrix, it's like Knopfler. And well, then maybe a couple others like Eric Clapton, like John Mayer, like Strat guys, and you're like, they just play guitar solos the whole way through, and like so much of this album is just guitar solos.
Maybe I'm projecting because it's the song "Sailing to Philadelphia" which really gets me, and maybe I'm projecting that over a bunch of other songs of what I like, but yeah, no, I get that. That's a very fair statement. And I do get a bit tired of some of the guitar solos. I don't think they're as overbearing and unnecessary as some other guitar solos I've heard.
Well, a lot of the time, the point of the song for a lot of these songs is to feature the solo, which is kind of the opposite of how you would have an overbearing guitar solo in the middle of a song that doesn't need one, essentially. But all these songs are structured around letting Mark Knopfler play, which is kind of what a lot of people enjoy.
Which it doesn't feel like it's off then.
Yeah. I will say the difference in quality between the two major features on this album is pretty funny. obviously you have the self-titled Philadelphia, which features James Taylor, who is a wonderful singer, wonderful songwriter, great guy, great person to have on as a duo, you know. And then you have what's his name, Van Morrison, who's like, you know, kind of grumpy old man who doesn't like making music anymore, and his, I don't know, his song's pretty bad in my opinion.
Which one was that again?
Oh, I forget which one. It's like check number 6 or 7.
Okay, yeah, I think I might have skipped some of those.
Yeah, but like sorry, go for it.
You go.
The one with James Taylor, the self-titled track, is really nice.
Yeah, it really is. And James Taylor's voice, I remember the first time I heard him, I knew it wasn't Knopfler. I was like, gosh, his voice is beautiful. I mean, yeah, it's not lazy. That's what I know.
Yeah, I mean, James Taylor is so gorgeous. We should do one of his albums one of these days. He's quite a legend when it comes to writing duets, and he did a number of features with like some of the Beatles in the early days and the Dylans and those kind of guys. Like he knows how to help a song by being there, and you can really tell in this kind of this track about the Civil War.
And I think that it mattered. I think it's like, it comes back to the guitar solo. When you kind of have an intention behind the reason why you have a guest, in this case, like there are two people having a conversation sort of thing, or like it's two different characters, it makes a lot of sense, you know. And when you've got Mark Knopfler, where his main voice is kind of his guitar, it makes sense that there's a lot of guitar. But when you've got kind of like, yeah, these other like songs with guitar solos where they're just like, our guitarist, who isn't really a songwriter, wants to stick this in the middle, it's going to sound very, very different than the rest of the lyric. And it doesn't, it kind of breaks. I sent you a text trying to express my thoughts about how much I get frustrated when guitar solos like interrupt the flow of the song and you don't get the like story anymore. It just cuts it off and pulls you out of the vibe.
I mean, if I was going to sound like an old man, I'd say the art is a bit lost these days of how to, how about a structure a song well to have it include a guitar solo that doesn't like, that doesn't break or anything, you know? Sorry, I cut you off.
Yeah. No, that's fine. And the title track, sorry, the first track, What It Is, I actually really like that too, with that, the lick that comes in right after he sings What It Is each time at the end of the chorus. Like, it really fits well. Like, the guitar and his voice are weaving around each other because they're the same person. And I think that's really important to not crowd out when you have two lead melody instruments. And yeah, it seems to be a bit of an either or sometimes with songs.
Yeah.
Like the singer's singing and then there's a guitar solo playing, but Mark Knopfler manages to have both working around each other, and neither of them is like pushing the other one out of the way. They've just kind of weave in and out, especially on songs like Prairie Wedding. Like, you've got this very subtle, sort of very quiet country sort of minor solo that kind of comes out of the ground of these soft tones, and it doesn't dominate. Like, it's this strange song, I think, about an arranged wedding or something like this. But this he's even got a guitar, well, he's just like a lead line that doesn't interrupt that. And I think that he does it very well.
Yeah.
I keep saying the same thing.
He definitely has a particular atmosphere that he likes to cultivate, which is like you have your dry, clean guitar and then like a fair amount of clean reverb as well. And you just kind of smash those two together. And it sounds like he's, you know, playing in a bit of like a church stadium or whatever. But most every song has this kind of space that's really filled out by how he likes to make his guitar sound. And you hear it in other things, like that sound is familiar from like his soundtrack stuff as well as his Dire Straits stuff. Like, he likes obviously to do that.
It's
funny, I was listening to a lot of this album a couple of weeks ago when the lead guitarist and songwriter of the Canadian the band died, Robbie Robertson, who's quite famous guitar player in his own right, and is kind of known as one of these very clever guys when it comes to fitting in guitar solos and that kind of stuff. And so I was kind of listening to some of their older songs in comparison. I get not comparison, but at the same time, And it was very different. I mean, this is the 70s to whenever Philadelphia album came out, but it's kind of...
2000.
it's Mark Knopfler is definitely like working his guitar into much more of a lead feature alongside of himself than maybe another songwriter would in the past. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't mind this. Some of the pieces, like you said, are kind of whatever.
Yeah.
And they don't have the same kind of legendary standout status that a number of, like, the Dire Straits song do. Like, there's no, like, you know, 10-minute Sultans of Swing kind of monstrosity guitar solos going on here. But some of the songs are quite nice to listen to, for sure.
Yeah, I could have done with more songs like Sailing to Philadelphia, which were a bit, a bit more on the, like, less country rock side of things. And you're right in that I don't want to justify my inconsistencies, but I think it is, it's a combo of nostalgia and realizing that, like, this is the kind of soloing that I like. Sure. I'm much more of a story of a song kind of person than it must feature a guitar solo or I don't listen to it sort of thing.
I mean, you could do much worse than to enjoy a Mark Knopfler guitar solo. I don't know, but, like, there's nothing wrong with that.
I think also it's really interesting, like, when I was first starting to play bass, Dire Straits was one of those songs, Sultans of Swing is one of the first songs that I heard of Dire Straits, and I really liked the bass line. I just liked the tone, and so, you know, the early days of learning an instrument where you're really impressionable when you're taking on this sound. So, yeah, I enjoyed that when I was looking for different examples of really proficient playing. Not only on bass, but guitar. So,
yeah. Sure.
I dig it. Yeah. I'm glad you enjoyed a couple of tracks.
Hey, man, I'll give anything a go, especially if it's a bit older.
Yeah, ditto. Shall we move into our honorable mentions?
Yeah. I guess kind of staying in the 80s zone. My first one is that the re-release of the Talking Heads movie and album has been finished and has come out. The Stop Making Sense.
Oh, I didn't know that. Great.
I believe this is the second time it's been remastered audibly. but the first time for the film. And I've been reading a lot of kind of the news that's come around about it. Because, you know, what's his name? Captain Big Suit. David Byrne. He's been doing a lot.
Captain Big Suit. Love that one. Let's keep that.
He's been doing a lot of press.
That's the title of this episode. The one with Captain Big Suit.
they've been talking about how re-editing and refurbishing this movie and its album has been a real, like, healing experience for the band. As now they're kind of a fair bit older and, I don't know, wiser and grayer, and they're kind of ready to move on from maybe some of the young things they did back in the day. I still haven't seen the actual film, the actual concert, but the songs on the record are great. A number of their, like, really, really big hits are on here, and they play them really well, so I kind of have been enjoying the soundtrack to Stop Making Sense.
Yeah.
Talking Heads, man.
I thought you didn't like Talking Heads.
I flip-flop.
Not to be like putting you off.
No.
I just remember you teasing David Byrne so much whenever I talked about him.
I find him an interesting person. I don't find all the stuff he does interesting. And, like, some Talking Heads songs I can take or leave. Like, you know, Psycho Killer I don't particularly enjoy, or Burning Down the House and that kind of stuff.
Burning Down the House is, like, I know why you don't like it, but I also don't like it for that reason, but I kind of think it's just so funny. Like, it's so it's so silly and 80s. It's just great.
I think as I've gotten older in my 30s, I understand a bit more where a number of the songs that I do enjoy, like Once in a Lifetime or There's a Place, where those songs are kind of coming from, in terms of like a mindset. And
yeah,
I don't know. I was kind of going through like talking head memes, and it looks like it was like everyone has like that once in a lifetime moment when they hit their like lifespan and realize that like all these things that they've accumulated are kind of stupid and worthless, and everything's the same as it ever was. And everyone has that kind of like the mind break moment they put on the suit kind of thing. So I don't know. Maybe I'm at that point in my life where I understand it a bit more.
Yeah, it's fair. It's a fantastic song. And I mean, yeah, no, I get that. Have you ever read his book, How Music Works? I've mentioned it before.
Yeah,
I think.
I've read a passage or two of it. I don't actually own it anymore. I gave a copy away.
It's worth a bit of a read because he does go into the background of some of like his albums. And I like how kind of open he is about, you know, the writing process and how much it costs to make an album, at least when he did this it back in the 80s or in the 90s. And he just talks about processes of mixing and writing and doing things differently. Sure. And like, it's just cool to kind of hear him talk about it. Like, he's not like super protective. He's actually not like an artist who is going, no, you can't know the secrets behind what I do, you know? And so I like that. I respect that.
Sure.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. I should watch that. I would like to see that.
I mean, I've been hoping that maybe they come play it at the Rio because they've been doing concert showings of it around America. I'm like, maybe kind of bring it to one or two of Vancouver and I'd go and see it, but nothing yet. And then second, I have been listening to the first solo release from the lead singer of Fontaine's DC.
Cool.
His name's Grant Chatton. And I think he's like at this rate put out an album a year, which is kind of spooky. But he put out his first solo record and it's quite strange. It has all this kind of weird, like strange alternative 90s upbringing that a lot of the Fontaine's music does, but a lot of the kind of rock and roll is stripped away. And so it's kind of this weird hodgepodge of like singer songwriter kind of folk music, but it's like an alternative bend. Like sometimes it sounds like the kind of music you'd hear in like a weird like 90s game show. Like it's really odd stuff sometimes. And I've been quite enjoying it. I still don't quite know how to peg it properly, but it's It's definitely not like a post-punk rock album for sure. It's not anything like their other stuff. So I've been kind of enjoying that on the side.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting to know who's the driving force for the sound of Fontaine, you know.
Yeah. That's true. And then I've been listening to the most recent album from one of my favorite folk singers, Gregory Alan Isakov. He's really quite a soft touch when it comes to folk music. And in the most kind of recent years, he's kind of expanded into adding things like strings and a little more atmosphere behind his like drums and guitar. And this latest album, Appaloosa Bones, is no exception. And I don't know, it's kind of the perfect thing for a summer night, kind of starry summer night. It's really like, it doesn't break any, you know, musical barriers, but it's just beautiful to listen to. It's some great songwriting. And
I think you've been meaning to give me some of his stuff because I know of him. Yeah. You know, I don't know why I lump him in with like Tallest Man on Earth. Is that fair? Oh no, hang on. Have you given me one of his albums?
I don't think so.
Yeah. No.
Maybe?
Yeah. I can't remember. No, I don't think you have.
Go through the archives.
I've listened to little bits here and there.
When I would put like Tallest Man on Earth is kind of more fast or like Dylan electric kind of stuff. I wouldn't say Isakov is like that. It's more spacious and tuneful.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. like kind of like on the edge of being like sad cowboy songs, but not quite over the edge there. If that means anything to you.
Oh, I try and keep up with your stuff, man.
How dare you?
There's so much to listen to.
How dare you,
sir? It's like, I know.
And then last but certainly not least, I mean, this is from a couple weeks ago, but the latest single from Slaughter Beach Dog, as you talked about.
Yeah.
He put out a song called Summer Winds, which is a little more country. Has that slide guitar that I love so very much and harmonica.
Mm.
That's, I don't know, man. That single is has been on heavy rotation and is a 10 out of 10 for me. So I've been getting excited for that album. I haven't listened to the other singles that he's put out yet. Just that one is enough kind of for me. But I'm really excited for that album to come out in a couple weeks for sure.
Give me one sec, Josh. Go. Hold on a sec.
Yeah.
When I'm done, she can do that. When I'm done here, in like 5 minutes, then we'll go on the toilet. Zoe needs to sit on the toilet for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't want to. We're getting there.
No, it's a process. I understand.
All right. Should I do mine?
That's all me. How about you, sir?
I just have a couple. I will start with this because if we're talking about singles and albums, we're very excited for. Ooh. Sufjan Stevens has a new album coming out this year. I'm very excited.
Hooray.
I've tried not to listen to the single as much as you have of the others, but I want to. I think it's actually really good. Like, I was chatting with our mutual friend Ben, and, you know, we both feel a lot more excited about this one than The Ascension, which, yeah, was a bit of a not great album in my mind. It didn't grab me as much. This feels like something a little bit more like Silver and Gold, and a little bit like the Silver and Gold era where it was like electronica and really good singer songwriter stuff,
sure,
rather than just like just kind of electronica feels. I don't know,
I'll take your word for it.
It's called Javelin, and it seems really interesting. So I am very excited about that coming out. I can't make the listening party, but I will look forward to when it comes out. There's a listening party in the city at Red Eye Records. Mm. So if you are in the CBD, you should go and have a listen. Secondly, I'll talk briefly just about what I was going to review but didn't get to.
Mm.
I stumbled upon this Australian singer-songwriter from Melbourne called Winton. And she just released her first album. What's it called? Waving to My Girl,
yeah.
And I actually, like, I really liked the first kind of three tracks. Like, I kind of was, ooh, this kind of feels like an Andy Schauf, but in Australia with a female vocalist sort of thing. Like, the snare drum was calling me. It kind of dropped off and got a little bit too slow, and the vocals can sometimes be a bit too wispy. But the, you know, the title track, Waving to My Girl, and the single, Anything You Like, were really strong, and I like them a lot.
Yeah.
So check them out. I'll put those two on the playlist because they're great. But it just, yeah, it didn't kind of keep me there. I was like, this is good, but now I'm done.
Just
kept listening to post rock.
I need something sludgier and noisier.
Yeah.
I actually quite enjoyed the album too. I gave it a listen or two.
Nice.
It reminded me a bit of some of Julia Jacklin's earlier stuff, which maybe is a tad unfair, like just kind of Australian female singer comparison.
That's cool.
But I reckon, yeah, I don't know. I think you should give it another shot. I enjoyed, maybe I will too. The latter half of the album had some interesting parts for me I need to kind of remember. But I think, Asher, if I ever manage to buy a drum set again, I'm just going to record like an hour and a half of like deadheaded tacos beats for you and just kind of
thank you.
Set them to you as a lullaby maybe for you to listen to.
It's just a night.
Just dead toms.
Yeah. No highs. Cut everything. I don't know. I just like it when it sounds warm. Like, I like folk sounding warm. I don't like clankety clankety clank. But yeah, anyway.
Sure.
Just a couple of others. I've been listening to a lot of Even Oxen. I need some noise folk in my life. So, yeah, Even Oxen is a singer-songwriter from Texas, makes lots of noise stuff, and he just kind of, he had all this stuff on free download on Bandcamp, but that meant I couldn't buy it and stream it through the app, and he had stuff that wasn't on Spotify, so he's made it available, and I bought it all up before he makes it unavailable, and now I'm enjoying it. I just love
Let
the combo
Let me pay
of
you
like,
money.
I love the combo of, like, it starts off with this beautiful soft guitar, and then there's like this old school recording of a guy reading a psalm, and then there's like this headphone explosion of noise for 2 minutes, and then we're back to folk guitar, and it's just like, dude, this thing is mastered way too loud. It's like, you know, every streaming service would drop it by 10 dB or something, but it's really fascinating. So anyway, Even Oxen, so good. I'll just do some quick ones. I've been listening to a 73-track album by The Caretaker while I was reading House of Leaves. It's as disorienting as the House of Leaves is. My mate Callan has re-released like a new version of an album from 5 years ago, called Spat Plus Five. It's quite interesting. It's not a remaster. He's actually re-recorded the songs. Uh-huh. With different lyrics kind of reflecting on the time since. And it's quite fascinating. I need to give it more of a listen. Like, but it's quite an expansive album. It's only like 7 tracks, but some of the songs are like 12 minutes. And yeah, it's big. It's like proggy, big guitar solos, other stuff like that. So yeah, I'll chuck the link in there. It's fascinating. I need to give it more time. And it's been a while since I listened to the original, so I can't pick up every change, but it is quite interesting to listen to. And Harrison Lemke has a new song out. It's like 10 minutes long and folky. Looks cool. I need to listen to it again. And that's about me. That's kind of, yeah.
Great.
That's me. Should I take us out?
Yes, please.
Well, thank you for listening to episode 65. Our episode's been coming in clumps at the moment, so soz for that. Just, yeah, just go with it. We'll be fine. Yeah, please check out the stuff that we listen to. Send us things. We always love hearing random stuff, and we'll just keep chipping away at our back catalogs of wish lists and other stuff like that. Ooh. So check us out on socials wherever you like, and give us a like, give us a review, anything like that. Sounds great. Thanks, Josh.
See you, mate.
See you next time. Bye.